like gravitational radiation. Finally, one can imagine a category of experiments that refute well-accepted theories, theories that have become part of the standard consensus of physics. Under this category, I can find no examples whatever in the past 100 years. There are, of course, many cases where theories have been found to have a narrower realm of application than had been thought. Newton's theory of motion does not apply at high speeds. Parity, the symmetry between right and left, does not work in the weak forces, and so on. But in this century, no theory that has been generally accepted as valid by the world of physics has turned out simply to be a mistake, the way that Ptolemy's epicycle theory of planetary motion or the theory that heat is a fluid called caloric were mistakes. Yet in this century, as we have seen in the cases of general relativity and the electroweak theory, the consensus in favor of physical theories has often been reached on the basis of aesthetic judgments, before the experimental evidence for these theories became really compelling. I see in this the remarkable power of the physicist's sense of beauty acting in conjunction with, and sometimes even in opposition to, the weight of experimental evidence. As I have been describing it, the progress of scientific discovery and validation may seem like pretty much of a muddle. In this respect, there is a nice parallel between the history of war and the history of science. In both cases, commentators have searched for systematic rules about how to maximize one's chance of success, that is, for a science of war or a science of science. This may be because in both scientific history and military history, to a far greater degree than in political or cultural or economic history, there is a pretty clear line that one can draw between victory and defeat. We can argue endlessly about the causes and the effects of the American Civil War, but there is no doubt at all that Meade's army beat Lee's at Gettysburg. In the same way, there is no doubt that Copernicus's view of the solar system is better than Ptolemy's, and Darwin's view of evolution is better than Lamarck's. Even where they do not attempt to formulate a science of war, military historians often write as if generals lose battles because they do not follow some well-established rules of military science. For instance, two generals of the Union Army in the Civil War that come in for pretty wide disparagement are George McClellan and Ambrose Burnside. McClellan is generally blamed for not being willing to come to grips with the enemy, Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. Burnside is blamed for squandering the lives of his troops in a headlong assault on a well-entrenched opponent at Fredericksburg. It will not escape your attention that McClellan is criticized for not acting like Burnside, and Burnside is criticized for not acting like McClellan. Both Burnside and McClellan were deeply flawed generals.